Anybody here with me?
Yeah.
Does anybody love the Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody glad that they in the house? One more time.
Yeah.
Do you feel like praise the Lord for all that He's done? I don't know about you, but He kept me from last week to this week. And woke me up this morning and started me on my way. I'm ready to praise the Lord.
Can you feel Yeah. Yeah! ask you if you have your Bibles, and you know I always ask you to encourage you to bring your Bible with you. Bring a pencil, a pen, a highlighter, a piece of paper, something. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I want you to look with me in that book of John. Some say the book of St. John. And we are going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, but hopefully we will see it from another vantage point. John chapter 11. And we want to look at verses 17 through 27. John chapter 11. Beginning at verse number 17, and I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. If you do not have a Bible, you can share with somebody. Amen. You all ready? Amen. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word. Verse 17 begins this way. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Thus in the reading of God's most holy and precious word, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. I know we've got a program this afternoon, and I'm try to get to the point, but I want to make sure that what the Lord has to say to us today is received to us today. Not in a hurried fashion, because you have a tendency that when you're dealing with somebody that's speaking fast, you really stop paying attention to them because they lost it in the first couple of sentences. But I want to talk today, I want to preach to you today from this thought. Let Jesus take it from him. Let Jesus take it from here. I wonder if you ever felt like the problems or the situations or the obstacles that are facing you are too big for you to handle. We have to deal with stuff on a daily basis. Does it seem like everything you can possibly do is just not good enough? Huh? No matter what you do or how much you try to do it, it just don't seem to work. It seems like the harder you try to fix it or make it right, the harder it gets. It may make you feel like helplessness is all around you and may make you feel like all hope is gone. Anybody ever been there? So it might even make you feel like giving up, throwing in the towel. huh? Just closing up shop and moving on. Because there just doesn't seem to be an earthly solution to your earthly problems. And if you feel this way, my brothers and my sisters, I want to just let you know right now that you're not alone. And that there's somebody that can and is able to handle whatever it is that you might find yourself going through. Can I get a witness in here? For you see, part of the problem is the fact that we are trying to do something with our situation and it's not within our power to do anything about it. Huh? We begin to analyze and to rationalize and to go through all kinds of things to try to figure out the situation so we can see how it fits into our particular mold. Huh? Only to find out that it's a lot bigger than we previously thought that it was. You see, it's at that point that we need to realize just where our power stops. Because we don't have no power when you take a look at it. And understand where God's power begins because he has all power. You see, and allow him to begin moving on our behalf. You see, when we get to the point of I can't do anything else, that's when the Lord steps in and he says, I take it from you. You see, our text today is found in the Gospel of John. You see, this gospel is unique in that it's not part of what is known as the synoptic gospels. You see, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the synoptic gospels. And it shares some events that the others do not. You see, each writer has a particular reason for writing his gospel, and each one was intended to reach a particular targeted audience. For example, Matthew was written to the Jews and shows Jesus as the King of the Jews and the Savior of the world. Right? And Mark was written to the Romans and shows Jesus as the servant of God, also known as Jehovah. Luke was written to the Gentiles and shows Jesus as the Son of Man. And John was written to the world and shows Jesus as the Son of God. Can I get a witness here? Any Bible readers in the house? You see, his gospel gives us evidence of the deity of Christ. You see, this deity, it refers to him, John refers to him as the Word, and from the Greek word logos, which means something said or communicated or the divine expression concerning Christ. John is known and referred to as the beloved disciple. Huh? And so Mary is off to, for a while, Mary off to, was there, the mother of Mary, let me get this straight now. The mother of Mary, Jesus on the cross, gave John to her to take care of her. Huh? I want to make sure I get that right. So John was there with Peter and James when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. You all remember that story? That Jesus went through what is known as a metamorphosis, where he changed right before their eyes on the mountain, and that's in Matthew chapter 17. All right. Thank you, sir. And so the same John is sharing with us the miracle that took place with Lazarus. Now everybody knows the story of Lazarus. Huh? But here, John shares with us in the beginning of the chapter that Lazarus was sick. He was sick. And that some messengers went out to tell Jesus about his condition. Now, you know, we are human beings and we have these finite minds. And, you know, you're going to go tell somebody about something that they already know. Now, let's keep in mind that nothing takes place that the Lord will be caught by surprise.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
And he knew the reason behind Lazarus' impending situation. Huh? People, for the most part today, need to see something for them to truly understand and accept it, and to be a fact or something that they can hold on to. Just like our Sunday school lesson. Huh? They've been with Jesus for 3 years. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. They saw him heal sick folk. They saw him give sight to the blind. They saw him raise folk from the dead. But still, after he died and was resurrected, they still needed some confirmation.
Yes, yes.
They still needed to touch him to confirm. And we are like that sometimes. We need a tangible confirmation.
Yes.
You see, there was no exception in the days in which Jesus lived and conducted his ministry right here on this earth, that he told his disciples that this was something that would give God the glory.
Yeah.
You see, even Jesus, who is the Son of God and also God, you all remember John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Huh? The same Jesus, whatever he did it to glorify God. Wouldn't that be something if we did this like Jesus did? That everything that we did it to glorify God and not ourselves? Huh? They thought Lazarus was asleep. Huh? But Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead. And by the time Jesus got to where Lazarus was, he had been dead for 4 days already. Huh? So that brings me to three things I'd like to share with you quickly, and then I'm going to let you get out of here. Amen? So that we can get back here for our program. First of all, when you look at chapter 11 here in verse 17, look at the 17th verse. You see there, by the world's standards, it didn't look like anything else could be done for Lazarus.
Amen.
You see, when a person dies, they're dead. They go to the coroner. The coroner do what they do, then they send it to the funeral home. The funeral home do what they do. We get together, you know, we mourn for that individual. They go in the ground and that's it.
Amen.
Huh? You see, so that brings us to where we at. So naturally, the world couldn't do anything for Lazarus. He did. But when the creator of the world shows up, somebody help me now, when the creator of the world shows up, he can do whatever he needs to do to correct whatever might be wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Matthew Henry, the noted commentator and theologian of the 19th century, he provided these comments about Jesus when he showed up at Lazarus' house. Some think that Lazarus died the same day that the messenger came to Jesus with the news about Lazarus being sick. And so some reckon that 2 days from where he lived at in the same place and 2 days for the journey, that's 4 days. But rather, the thought here is that Lazarus died at the very instant that Jesus said, "Our friend sleepeth, he is now newly fallen asleep."
Yes, yes.
Can I get some help in here?
Amen.
You see, we can look at situations in our lives as well and know that just as soon as somebody makes a statement about it, it seems like it's doomed.
Yes, yes.
Huh? All of a sudden, the sun then went away in the dark clouds and rolled in.
Yes, yes.
Huh? By merely mentioning or making reference to the negative side of things, that we can begin to grab onto it and think that it's all over.
Yes.
You shouldn't have done that. Huh? You see, that's not true when it comes to Jesus. Well, you see, he can take a broken relationship and fix it up.
Yes.
He can take a broken heart and put it back together again.
Yes.
He can take a broken spirit and heal it like nobody else can.
Yes.
He can take a broken, messed up situation and turn it around like never before.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. Ezekiel 37. Here gives us a record of a doom situation. You see, this prophet was told by God to go into a valley, huh? And speak to some dry bones.
Come on now.
And not only were these bones dry, but the scripture says they were very dry. Huh? Kind of like some folk that we know. Huh? You see, the question was asked, can these bones live? Huh? I mean, if you see a skeleton, it don't look like it can live, but Ezekiel asked the question, can these bones live? Huh? And Ezekiel's response was, I know. God knows if they can live or not. Huh? And so Ezekiel was commanded to prophesy. Huh? Or, in other words, speak to those bones. And so he did what he was told to do. And then there was a noise. Yes, there was a shaking going on. There was a rattling going on. And all of the bones began to come together. You see, in that first sight, Ezekiel thought the situation was doomed because it was just a bunch of dry bones laying around. But when we allow God's word to speak to our situation, when we allow God to take care of our problem for us, he will tell us just when we done reached the end of our rope. Hold on, wait just a minute. I take it from here.
Come on now.
Verse 21 tells us that the situation not only may have seemed doomed, but the situation was now getting a little desperate. I wonder, have you ever found that in a desperate situation, one of the first things that take place is complaining? Huh? Start complaining. See, and while you're complaining, you're speaking in tongues. Huh? So you see, somebody will complain that if so-and-so would have done this, or if the president of the United States or the president of the auxiliary would have done that, if the governor would have done this, if the pastor would have just done such and such. You know the pastor gonna get talked about. If the deacon would have done just this thing or that thing, yes, you know the deacon gonna get talked about, huh? Then the situation would have not turned out just the way that it did. You see, now Martha is complaining. You know, but she got a complaining faith. And that's a strange thing to hear, but she believed, but she complaining. Huh? Martha, when she began to talk to Jesus, that she complained that it took too long to get back to where they were. Now you got to remember, now Jesus, he could have went and was there. They didn't have no cars, no buses, no hell. Huh? They had to walk. Or ride a camel or something. You see, but she was complaining because he took too long to get there to the situation. And that sounds like a lot of what we do when things don't go our way, just when we want it to work our way according to our timetable. Huh? We want Jesus now. Huh? We don't want to sit at the kitchen table and be worrying about, you know, what's going to happen to the bills. We don't want to be sitting in the doctor's office worrying about what he's going to say when he calls us in there. We want Jesus now. You see, but Jesus got a reason for making us wait. Huh? Just like he said, you know, in Isaiah, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's a strange thing to go to the doctor's office and you're sitting there and you start feeling better already. You've been talking to the Lord all the way to the doctor's office. You're still talking to the Lord while they're asking you for your information. And by the time they call your name, your blood pressure is normal. Huh? Your pulse rate is normal. Huh? You may have a situation, but it ain't affecting you. You feeling better. Huh? You wish you had to reschedule. Hallelujah. You see, everybody else take too long or don't fit what we want to see happen or what we want to take place. You see, so her words to Jesus also shares with us her desperation concerning Lazarus' condition. My brother had not died in verse 21. So he's dead now. That's his condition. But if you haven't been here, Jesus, Dr. Jesus, huh? If somebody had a call 911, if you had a 911, you had picked up the phone, my brother would still be alive. But you took too long. You see, what she didn't realize was, is that the giver of life, the one that she was complaining to, was in her presence. And he was making preparations to do the impossible. Help me, somebody. Y'all want me to hurry up? I got to hear you. When you look at the last part of this particular passage, verses 24 and 25, we find that at this point, Martha was truly convinced that the situation was completely done. And we are like that. We don't want our loved ones to die. Huh? We spend all night and all day at the hospital praying for a miracle. We don't want our loved ones to die. But in this situation, there was a purpose in Lazarus dying. There was a reason why Jesus took 4 days to get there. And that was to glorify the Father. And so she shares her faith with Jesus in the 22nd verse when she says, I know that even now, that whatever thou wilt ask of God, huh? He said, God will give it to thee, huh? And then she gets down to the 24th verse now and says that Lazarus is done until the last day. Huh? Jesus said, you know, thy brother will rise. And she said, I know he will on the last day. She missed the memo right there. Huh? You see, so she still didn't realize that the giver of life, huh? The one who said, I find it not robbery to be like God, was in her presence. So the one with the power to undo what was already done was standing right there with her. Can I get a witness here? I'm getting ready to go here, and all y'all ought to go with me now. You see that the one with the power was right there. And when things seem to be at the lowest point, huh? At the lowest point, when it seemed like that nothing else can be done, and nobody else you can call, Jesus will step into your situation and say, hold on. I know what you need. I'll take it from here. I don't hear nobody. You see, if you had a situation in your life where your back was up against the wall and you didn't know what else to do, and your family was even helping you with your pity party because they didn't know what to do. But when you call on Jesus, when you call on the master of the wind and the waves, he said, hold on right there. Get on the way from that wall. I take it from here. Ain't God all right? So as I hurry to a close, let me just say that sin had a hold on us, and it looked like we were doomed. Yes. And then, my brothers and my sisters, Jesus stepped in and said, I'll take it from here. Oh Lord, the devil thought he had us in a desperate situation. Oh Lord, but Jesus showed up and said, I'll take it from here. Yes, when it looked like we're all done in our situation, and we're trying to remember where we put our living will, huh? When it's all